Oh yeah, this is the Council Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Vicks, and on this fresh episode, we're going to be talking about my first 30 days this year. I'm going to get in depth with some different things that I'm doing, and that's going to tie into reinventing the wheel, which will be my final thoughts. We are also going to talk about the Council Keys Evaluation Standards 1 and 2. As I said at the beginning of the year, we're going to go through two of the standards per episode till we get through all 10. We're going to make sure that you get the highest rating possible for your evaluation. Of course, we're going to have my housekeeping items and my final thought. As I said a few moments ago, we're going to talk about reinventing the wheel. Of course, this is the part of the show I say, let's go. This podcast for the last couple of years, you know that I'm in Georgia and Councilor Keys or Councilor Keys evaluation system is the way that counselors should be evaluated in Georgia. But as I said before, LUAs are not obligated to go by that standard. So if the LUA wants to use this formal evaluation, they would have to be properly trained through their local RESA or their regional RESA and making sure that counselors are evaluated through this tool. And why do we want to use Counselor Keys? Well, Counselor Keys for us, it gives a deep dive into the ASCA national model, which is what counselors go by. Of course, you know, in 2019, they upgraded to the fourth edition and changed the verbiage on it. Now, in the Council Keys, some of the verbiage has not changed on it as much because it's not a mandated tool like TEKS and LEKS are in the state. So, I'm going to give you, of course, we're going to go through the top two standards and go through each one, standard one and standard two, and just discuss what that standard is, talk about the rating levels, and the best way to get three or four. We always want to strive for four on your evaluation. So we're going to talk about those first two topics. Let's go ahead and start with standard one, professional knowledge, which is part of the foundation system. The professional school counselor demonstrates an understanding of a comprehensive school counselor program by providing relevant learning experiences in the three domains, which are academic achievement, career development, and social emotional growth. Basically, what this tool is talking about, making sure that your program delves into all three aspects of the domains laid out by ASCA. How do you do that? How do I get a 304? What do I need to do? When you get for a level three evaluation, for those that are new to education or are going through this type of evaluation now, when you look at level three, is the expected level of performance. The school counselor consistently demonstrates an understanding of a comprehensive school counselor program and provides relevant learning experiences in the three domains. To get a level four, the school counselor continually demonstrates an extensive understanding of a comprehensive school counseling program and serves as a professional leader by sharing and contributing to the further development of the counseling profession. Basically, what this one is saying, if you're three, you're consistently doing it throughout the year, and the four is saying you're leading what you're doing. Now, we want to get a three. You don't want to get a two or a one because that opens you up to PIP or professional PLPs, excuse me, professional learning plans, or a bad evaluation, or possibly not being renewed for another contract. So you always want to strive to get a minimum of three, which means you need to consistently do these things for standard one of professional knowledge, which means you need to develop lesson plans that incorporate counseling standards in the three domains. That means your core curriculum needs to have lesson plans that applies one of the three domains in it. Have an understanding of the intellectual, personal, social, and physical development of the age group which you're working in, which means be competent in your grade level that you are in. identify the standards that are addressed via the Comprehensive School Counselor Program, which is the mindset. It's a behavioral tool that is provided by ASCA. You just Google it, Mindset Behaviors Planning Tool, and you'll find it and you'll be able to download it. Facilitate activities and intervention within the three domains. That's easy for a three. And of course, attend counseling professional development, which means go to your district meetings, or go to ASCA, or go to GSCA, my state, Georgia School Counselor Association, go to that conference. That falls under a three. Now, a level four counselor, I want you to pay attention to this, delivers professional development to local school, serves as a consultant regarding development of comprehensive school counseling program for counselors in their school or district, prevents at local, state, or national level, demonstrates leadership in local, district, state, or national committees or organizations, contribute to professional literature, and supervise a counselor, intern, or practicum student. So if you have an intern or a practicum student, that's your four right there. If you're presenting at your state conference or a national conference or within your district, or even at your local RESA, that'll be a four. If you're a consultant for developing a program, like say for instance, you're working with RESA in developing a statewide comprehensive program, that's a four. You do professional development at your local school, basically like you're doing suicide and child abuse training, that's a four. That's professional development. So all of those things there are a four for your evaluation. So the three means you're consistently doing, that doesn't mean you're doing one lesson plan then I'm done, or I linked one mindset of behavior. No, you need to link multiple mindsets of behaviors to within all three domains. That's how you consistently get a three. That's how you make sure that you stay on top of your rating and make sure you're a competent counselor. Level four, it just takes practice as far as presenting in your state level. So I presented in 2018, 2020, and 2021 at GSCA this past summer. I presented at ASCA. So what I'm going to use for my evaluation this year is me presenting at ASCA. Also, professional literature, I was quoted in a K-12 article. So those two things will give me a four on my evaluation off the rip. So I'm good on standard one. Just make sure if your conference is not too about January, February, anything like that, go ahead and start working a proposal. Team up with somebody. So that way if you get presented, you will be easier for you to present instead of trying to do it by yourself. Or that way you can collaborate, gain a colleague, make a friend doing that. The second standard is instructional planning. That's part of the foundation and management system. The professional school counselor plans a goal-driven comprehensive school counselor program using curriculum and standards, resources, and data to address the needs of all students. So, like we said, the minimum to get a level three, the expected examples of evidence, which means you do this on a consistent basis. Collaborate with administration, develop and adhere to an annual partnership agreement, annual conference. Analyze student data, curriculum, and resource. Develop a counseling program. Set your goals for the year. Develop annual and weekly calendars, which include classroom lessons, small groups, and interventions. Plan for activities and interventions to meet the needs of all students. And use an annual program assessment to make changes in the school counseling program. Basically, that's a needs assessment. That's because those things are like one and done. But make sure you're using it. And creating it, and you analyze the data that you get from it, basically. Now to get a level four, you use SMART goals. ASCA has a SMART goal worksheet that you should be using. Align your goal with the school strategic plan, your continuous school improvement plan. Get a copy of it, study it. Find ways that you can try to affect in a positive manner that's the school's data points. Utilize evidence-based resources and program planning, designs counseling core curriculum action plans, small group action plans, and closing the gap action plans, and incorporate feedback from advisory counsel in the development of the comprehensive school counseling program, which should be shown in your annual your advisory council minutes. Of course, when you get to advisory council, we'll talk about that in a few weeks. The advisory council should consist of multiple stakeholders. And those stakeholders should have some should be able to participate in, on your team. They shouldn't just be there as a placeholder like, okay, that's great, wonderful, can't wait to see what you guys do. No, they need to have some courageous conversation about the data that you pull. I could refer back to my previous school, Appalachian Middle School, where we had Vice Council, one of our data points was getting major referrals down. And we were not able to get referrals down to where we wanted it to, but we were honest with the data. We said, this is where the data was at beginning of the year, this is where we are now compared to last year. And I said, I apologize about the data. I said, why are you apologizing for? Are you showing what your goals were? You want to make sure that you have complete, that's one way to get complete buy-in from stakeholders if you're sharing the data, which goes back to sharing what you're doing in your counseling program so that stakeholders can get, you can get buy-in from your stakeholders. Absolute. Get absolute buy-in. Share the data, share what you're doing, be totally honest, and you'll get complete buy-in from your stakeholders. Like I said, we're going to go over 2 standards per episode going forward. Instructional strategies would be the next one, as well as individualized instruction. So on the next episode, we'll be talking about those 2 standards and ways to get 3s and 4s on your evaluation. Now, I'll be right back with my first 30 days of school. So my first 30 days of school, we started school on August the 3rd. As I'm recording this, this is September the 1st. This year is a little bit different because I've been moved to 7th grade. And it's different. I've done 7th grade before, so it's not a big deal. I have some reservations about a lot of different things I will not go into at this moment. But I felt to myself, to be honest with you, what can I do differently than when I did when I started my journey as a counselor from 7 years ago? Some of the things I still do is still do my needs assessment, still do a lot of different things. I still do core curriculum and meet with students. But it's a little bit trickier transition because, you know, of course, I've been scheduled for 8th grade for a couple years. Before that, I was scheduled for a whole school for a couple years. And this year, working through at 7th grade, working through learning my teachers, learning a new administrator. It's going to be an interesting job to do this year as far as going back to a mid-level counselor in between kids finding their voice into kids trying to use their voice against you and be trying to versus trying to find their voice and going to kids that think they know everything, got their voice smell themselves, they go to high school and really think they know everything. So that's the one thing about this first 30 days learning my staff. Got a bunch of new teachers this year. Of course, education's gonna be like that, especially during a pandemic where people are getting out of the profession, which Terrell Key on his podcast said is not as high as we think it is. It just looks that way from where we are at as far as losing people in the building. But it's a different journey. It's a different avenue for me. It's just a different experience as far as something I've done for years and coming back to it years later. So it's going to be a different challenge of things I know how to do as far as the basic counseling do, but changing it up as far as the needs for 7th graders and learning those students and remembering how difficult it is to rein in 7th graders. And if you're a 7th grade counselor, there's a special place in heaven for all of us handling those kids and those scholars. But it's a challenge that I'm ready to take on and trying to grab it by the horn and just, you know, become better at it. Now, of course, we'll be right back with my housekeeping items. I'll be back. This is the part of the show where we talk about my housekeeping items. Of course, you can follow me on Anchor, anchor.fm/Fabian-Vix. You'll listen to all my podcasts on Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and of course, Apple Podcasts. You can follow me on the Twitter at Fabe the PSC. That's F-A-B as in boy E, the PSC. You also follow me on Facebook at The Counselor's Connection with Fabian Vix. Weebly.com, FabeTheCounselor.weebly.com is my webpage. It needs to be updated. I just haven't had time to update it. I'm just being lazy and there's no other ways around it. So upcoming things that I'm happy to announce. In a future episode, of course, Coach Renee Lopez, she's the author of Looking for a Full Ride, an Insider's Recruiting Guide. This book is made for recruiters and recruitees on trying to make sure they maximize their capital in scholarships for Division I, II, III, and NAIA sports. She's going to be on our show. I'm going through her book now. I can't wait to meet with her and dig into her brain. I want to pick her brain about the various scholarships, full versus partial. Is it 4x1? Is it 4x4? NIL, all that stuff that kids are going to have questions about going through the recruitment process. So I cannot wait to have her on. I said a couple weeks ago that I'll be interviewed by my own wife on my podcast. So it'll be The Counselor Connection with Yolanda Vix for one episode. She's going to interview me on a bunch of different questions, which I have no idea what she's asking me. So we'll find out what she's going to be asking me. Also, Terrell Keys to Success podcast. I will be on his show again on the end of September, I believe the 26th of September, excuse me, not December, September 26th. It'll be a live stream through YouTube. So we'll be appearing with my guys, John Wasu, Steve Sharp, and Brian Coleman. We're going to have five black counselors together on the same podcast. So we're going to see how that's going to work out for everybody. So those are the immediate things. Also, I'm looking forward to finally getting Aaron Bundridge and Jeff Miller on my podcast. They are counselors in my county where I work at, and they went ramp this past year. And I cannot wait to get them on in the future when their schedules lighten up. We all have all middle school counselors, so it's just trying to wait for the right moment for our schedules to lighten up for us to connect and just discuss how it's been since they went ramp. And I'll be right back with my final thoughts on reinventing the wheel. So I'll be right back. Fabe's final thought. I started counseling 7 years ago in 2016 and did my internship the prior year. Of course, you go through a K-CREP program, 600 hours of indirect hours, and then 150 practicum hours. Excuse me. It could be clinical or hospital, anything like that. Qualify to get you the requisite hours needed for certification through a K-CREP program. And a lot of states are going to that model. And Georgia, I'm glad I switched over to the K-CREP model when I did, because I would not have been fully certified as a counselor. But one thing I kept hearing my internship and through my first year or two as counselor is, you got this already. Why reinvent the wheel? Why redo something that's not broken? Why redo this? I'm thinking like, well, that's a better way to do it. You could add this. Like, nah, it worked. It worked before. Use it again. So I thought about that thing for a few years on how I delve into making sure my comprehensive program works. And each year, up to even into this year, so things that I did, well, I started off light with a parent needs assessment. In my first year, I was at Applin, not that many parents filled it out, maybe 10, 15 parents filled it out. Then the next year, I tried it again with the parents and it went down to 10. So I'm thinking like, needs assessment needs to be reassessed. So I said, let me give it to the teachers. So I waited 4 weeks into the year before I gave a needs assessment to my teachers, because teachers know the students where they need or whatnot. teachers did it, 8 teachers had it. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, maybe I need to use some different data for what kids need as far as core curriculum or whatever. You get my, you see, kind of see a pattern what I'm doing with this now. So my 3rd and 4th year, what I started doing was, I was also the PBIS coach in my school. So I used the PBIS data from the previous year to go along with the teacher needs assessment and created bullying lessons and conflict resolution and growth versus fixed mindset. So when I transitioned to a new district, before we back up just a little bit, when I moved to A grade, my 4th year at Applin, of course I did my needs assessment. I looked at the data, looked at the student grades, looked at the retention rate, students that were retained for 8th grade or retained in 7th grade. I created an advisement. I took 3 weeks out of September to complete advisement with the whole 8th grade class, showed them their milestone score, showed them their Star 360 screener score, showed them the grades from the previous year. Transition to a new district, pandemic happens, that kind of eliminates a lot of the things that I wanted to do, but I still did needs assessment. I had about 250 students completed out of 455, so close to 50-55% of the students completed the needs assessment, which is okay, but it's not a true indicator of what all the students needed. So the next year I had 380 students and 290 students completed the needs assessment. Also included a digital advisement, things like their career goals and how their grades were. I let them fill it out themselves. I had 310 students participate in it. Some of the data was repetitive, like athlete. I don't know. Who knows? So I'm telling this story to say this. Sometimes we need to change the wheel on the car because the treading gets thin. Sometimes the tires go flat like it did when the pandemic happened. That tire went flat and I had to change the tire. Even though I changed the tire, it wasn't the right style tire for that car. So I had to get a different tread and a different tire this year. So even though I got moved to a whole nother grade level, I still reinvented my wheel to make sure my comprehensive school counseling program can roll on. So what I did this year was I made sure that when I did my lessons with students, we completed a needs assessment in-house. I also gave the parents a needs assessment as far as what they see what their scholars needed. So I had 70 responses from parents. Also gave the teachers a needs assessment out of the 14 teachers on my grade level. Of course, only 5 participated in it. That's fine because the data still overlapped with everything else. So I have multiple data points to show that the parents, students, and teachers see the same needs in students. And it took me a while to figure that out because I was trying to say, well, you know, I'm trying to go with this data point, just use one and use another data point. Some folks might say you need to use the health survey. Sometimes we don't have access to it, or it takes a lot of steps to get to it. Then you got to go through 161 counties to get to your school. Then it's a spreadsheet. You can't really read it that well. And I could just be faster with giving it to my students in 3 days because I know if I can watch, control them completing it. And a health survey might not be a truthful survey. They might be trying to click buttons to get through it, or they might be totally dishonest in how they answer the question. That's a chance you take with that. But it is a good data point to find out if your school really needs SOS programming, or you really need to have a kick butt drug awareness month, or you really need to delve into bullying. That's the health survey. That's where that comes in at, if you have access to the data or you can sift through it and make sure it's what you need. But for me, there are several times, as you listen to this, I had to reinvent the wheel several different times until I found the right tread for my tire that fits my car and the style. Now, what I'm doing now is I got the tires to get it rolling. Now I got to make sure the body of the car and the engine, and I got the right tint, got the right music, I got the right rims on the car. I gotta make sure everything fits on that car and looks good when we roll out at the end of the year. So what I'm saying to you counselors that are new or that have been a counselor for a long time, there is nothing wrong with changing the tires on your car. There's nothing wrong with it. Just gotta make sure the tread-in is right and you got inflated at the right PSI. Or you're gonna break down on the side of the road. And you got to wait for somebody to change your tire. Or you have to change it yourself. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. We out.
In the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Gotta stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wonder make me stare like second nature.